This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday and ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I've never been as excited for a show as I am this one right here.
Why? Maybe you're asking. One, your questions were so good from things like social media. What should you do? What shouldn't you do? Trump, DeSantis. There's a great story, a few great stories out there. One about DeSantis that his team needs to hear. Another one about young men fighting AOC. Why does she want to defund the NYPD? Let's deal with why the communist wants to do these things. We're just going to have great conversations for 3 hours tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And don't forget, you can still email your questions during the show. We're live. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I want to address something first, though, that is probably not political, but it's going to get political. And this is what I'm talking about. The Nashville shooter. You've seen a ton of this in the news, probably, at least on the right-wing news. You haven't seen any of this in the left-wing news. The shooter wrote a manifesto. The shooter wrote down why they were going to murder a bunch of Christians at a Christian school. A manifesto was written. A manifesto that is not being released by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Now, let's talk about why. You know this already, but it is important we always hammer this over and over and over and over again for the normies out there. The national security state has been weaponized for one purpose now and one purpose only. It is not stopping Islamic terrorism. It's not combating China or Russia. It's not stopping any of these things. The national security state, from the Federal Bureau of Investigation to the Central Intelligence Agency to the National Security Agency, they're all weaponized against you. And it is time we start waking up and realizing that fact. This goes well beyond the FBI. Why wouldn't the FBI release a manifesto? Because the manifesto would reveal that the LGBTQ demon mob portions of it are very much murderously committed to opposing Christianity in this nation. And the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they see themselves as the protector of the rainbow demon mob, and they're currently infiltrating the churches themselves. Why won't they release the manifesto? Because they're on the side of the shooter, and they're against you. And I know that maybe hard to hear, but it is time to accept it. But it goes well beyond the FBI. The latest and greatest from Tony Blinken. Listen to this about your Central Intelligence Agency.
According to a letter released Thursday night from the Republican chairman of the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell told congressional investigators the days after the laptop story, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, then a Biden campaign advisor, reached out to Morell and set in motion the events that led to the intelligence official's public statement.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation took possession of a laptop revealing Hunter Biden, then candidate Biden's son, to be a criminal. No ifs, ands, or buts. The FBI then hid that information and they approached social media sites preemptively before any stories could come out and told them to censor the information. On top of that, Joe Biden picked up the phone and called every spook he knows and told them all to sign a letter calling it Russian disinformation. It is time to wrap your mind around the fact the national security state has declared war on you. That is their focus. As we sit here right now, the what, 35,000 employees at the FBI, something like that? 30,000 of them are sitting in a strategy meeting. Not stressing about North Korea launching nukes. stressing about you and your freedoms, and you're getting loud at school boards, and you might even go to church, one of these churches that actually preaches the Bible. That might make you a domestic terrorist. Central Intelligence Agency, same thing. NSA, same thing. And I bring that up because I got this Ask Dr. Jesse question. Dear Dr. Jesse, I'm a 16-year-old and I love driving home from school every day listening to the beginning of your show. As most teenagers, I have Snapchat. That's a social media thing. I don't have it, but I know it's a social media thing. They recently came out with this AI robot that you can talk to and it will respond. The anti-communist in me told me to mess with this thing a bit, so I did. I asked it if it could see my location, and it told me no. A little while later, I asked it a different type of question. I said, "Where am I?" The robot then told me my exact location, and I about lost it. I showed my parents, and they are concerned as well. Is Snapchat going down the Chinese spy route of TikTok? Should I delete Snapchat now? I'd like to remain anonymous, please. You will, of course, remain anonymous. But let me answer your question a different way. Why are you worried about China when you should be worried about your own government? Oh, don't get me wrong. China's our enemy. There's no question about it. But you, 16-year-old anti-communist, the FBI is much more concerned about you than they are about China. And if you have a social media app tracking your every move, I'm not saying delete it or not. That's up to you and your parents. Have a talk with your parents. But this is something for everyone. We all have to understand, whether you have Snapchat or not, this cell phone you hold in your pocket, I hold in my pocket. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm off the grid. No, I'm not bringing you the Jesse Kelly Show from ham radio here. I live the same life you do. The cell phone we keep in our pockets, the government has infiltrated it, or will, to bust you, track you, listen to you. Did you know that? Did you know that the cell phone you hold in your pocket, without anybody sneaking into your house at night and low crawling into your bedroom and installing something on it, as it sits right there beside you with that private conversation you're having with your husband, your wife, your child, your friends at the range, that private cell phone can be hacked and turned into a microphone so they can listen to every word you're saying right beside it. Did you know that? I'm telling you this because as the national security apparatus of the United States of America continues to lock shields and aim their guns at you, as all Western civilizations are now, they're doing this in France, they're doing this in Canada, they're all locking shields to weaponize themselves against the right wing in their own countries. Do keep in mind, Snapchat or not, this cell phone you hold is the government's window into your life. They can watch you. They can track you. They can listen to you. All those January 6th political prisoners. Do you know how many of those people rotting in jail right now, completely unjustly, by the way, do you know how many of those people rotting in jail right now were swept up by a dragnet because they had their cell phones in their pockets? That cell phone, as we speak, you can't hear it. It's bing, bing. It's pinging off cell phone towers all around you. Like that, the FBI that thinks your views on gay marriage make you a domestic terrorist can turn your phone into a microphone and drag you before a judge in a blue area and throw you in a dark hole if they so desire. They have everything when you have your cell phone. Thanks, George Bush. Appreciate that Patriot Act. Of course, we all should have listened, myself included. I was real tough on terror back then, too, when the Ron Paul types were warning me, they're going to use this on you. And they are. The domestic weaponization of the national security apparatus in this nation is something we had better start getting very, very serious about as anti-communists. And this is why I have stressed over and over and over and over and over again the right had better start reorientating, and I don't even know if that's really a word, but it is now on the Jesse Kelly Show. Reorientating or reorienting? Is it, what is it, Michael? Whatever. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. The red states had better join together. Join together and start making sure their state police agencies and their AGs have a new mission. And that mission is to protect their citizens from a federal government that is quickly becoming evil. Now, that's just how that's going to have to go. All right, let's get off of that. We have some Ask Dr. Jesse stuff. I got some words Team DeSantis needs to hear. I've said it before. They need to hear it. And we have a difference of opinion. I'm actually probably going to offend you about something. You're probably going to differ with me strongly on it, but that's fine. Before we do that, I know you won't differ with me on this. Getting something in your pocket that will allow you, no matter what, to buy things. No matter what happens. No matter what happens. Dollar collapse, World War III, food shortages. You, your family, you will need to purchase goods and services to survive. That's simply the nature of life. Well, if that dollar becomes used toilet paper, what good does it do you? Get gold and silver coins delivered to your front door. You don't have to go crazy. Just do whatever you can do. Oxford Gold delivers it to your front door. Get it in your 401k and IRA. That might be even more important. So when the stock market blows up and the dollar collapses, your retirement isn't toast and you find yourself working at Taco Bell at 80. Call Oxford Gold Group. Tell them Jesse told you to call. They'll take good care of you, okay? 833-995-GOLD, all right? 833-995-GOLD.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Now, before we get to AOC, and I know I owe you a bloody ear story and all kinds of Ask Dr. Jesse questions and DeSantis stuff, I just want to play something really quickly. Just a little reminder. It's kind of serious, so I wanted to knock it out early in the show. AOC, she was asked about Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, obviously, asked about him raising the wage of the NYPD. Now, keep in mind, the NYPD is suffering right now. They're retiring. The good cops, the experienced cops, they're done with all this woke anti-cop garbage. They're leaving. Not going to stay around. They're going to go be cops in Florida. They're going to go do private security. NYPD cops have that on the resume. They have a lot of options. Eric Adams is desperate to stop the hemorrhaging and violent crimes out of control. Homeless, violence, drugs, murder all over the place. Eric Adams tries to jack their pay to try to stem, you know, the tide. Here's what AOC had to say about it.
Eric Adams has just increased police wages by 28%. Mm-hmm. Is that misplaced?
I think so. We are now at a point where officially most officers are paid more than a teacher with a master's degree serving these same kids involved in these same incidents. We are defunding safety, defunding our public schools, defunding our public pools, defunding our parks, defunding our libraries, when we are taking all of those resources and demanding that every single department except the militarized one be cut.
Just remember this. With all the talking points and the pools and the public and the militarized, just always keep in mind something you already know. This stance by AOC, Alvin Bragg, and many, many more, it has a purpose. They want violent criminals committing acts of violence. That is the purpose. Because whenever there's chaos, whenever there's violence, whenever there's angst in a society, that inevitably will benefit the people who are seeking more power. If I come knock on your door right now, hey, let me in. I need to take charge of your home. It's now my home. You would say, get away from me or I'll call the cops and or shoot you. You know, you're not coming in my home. But if I knock on your door, oh my goodness, there's a Mongolian horde. They're 30 minutes away. Let me in now. I need to take charge so we can fortify and you can survive. You might be a lot more receptive to that sales pitch now, wouldn't you? For that same reason, they turn violent criminals loose, knowing, wanting them to kill more people, rape more people, assault more people. That is the purpose of it. They want society to descend into chaos because chaos is the fertile soil where communism grows. A happy society, a content society, a safe feeling society would never, ever, ever accept something horrific like communism, but scared people just might, and historically they have. All right, now let's move on. I wanted to get something that you'll probably find offensive. Now, there's a video that's gone around. Maybe you've seen it on the news. If you're on social media, maybe you've seen it on social media. If you haven't, don't worry. It's fairly simple to describe. There is a wrestling match. High school wrestling. Actually, middle school wrestling. It's the eighth grade, right? The eighth grade. So we're talking about 13, 14-year-olds. Eighth grade. And some kid gets defeated on the wrestling match, on the wrestling mat. And they walk up to each other. And one kid, the one who won, reaches his hand out to shake the other kid's hand. And the other kid, the kid who lost, blasts him in the face with a punch. Just flat out lays him out right there. One of the most dirty, despicable, cheap shots you've seen in a long time. I'm only going to spend 30 seconds on this, but I'm going to say this. The response to that video has been tons of people across the nation calling for this kid to be arrested, thrown in juvie. They actually already did call the cops on him. Listen to me. This was an at-risk youth wrestling program. The worst thing in the thing I despise in this country is this call the cops every time something like this happens with the young man thing. He's in wrestling. Yes, that is a weapons grade piece of crap thing to do. Don't ruin the rest of the kid's life by pulling him out of wrestling and throwing him in juvie. Wrestling is what he needs. Now, should his wrestling coach make this kid run and do push-ups until he doesn't have any vomit left in his body every day for a month? Oh, yeah. A suspension, maybe? Of course. No competing for you. Do push-ups until your arms fall off of your shoulders. Yes, of course. Yes. Make him sore. Make him feel pain and misery. Don't take a kid who's in wrestling with a chance to be saved and chuck him in juvie with the animals and guarantee that he'll be in a state penitentiary the rest of his life. We have young men we can save in this country. Let's save them. He's not out stealing, shooting, stabbing people. He's in the eighth grade and lost his temper and sucker punched somebody. Don't end his life for that. All right, we're moving on. I want to get to some more Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Someone has a question for me about my fear-mongering. I got something for Team DeSantis that may hurt to hear. But I have something that's going to hurt for you to hear. And this is going to hurt a lot. All right, you ready? The MyPillow closeout sale. The all-season slippers. The ones that are $149.98. Normally, only now they're $25. This is the last day. Maybe you've been holding off. I'm going to wait. I got time. You don't have any more time. When they have a closeout sale, look, there's a reason they limit people to 10 pairs. People just go stock up on these things. They're the greatest things ever. For $25, today is your last chance. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, enjoy the greatest freaking foot experience ever. It relieves stress having these things on. That's how great they are. MyPillow.com, radio listener specials, promo code Jesse. Go get your all-season slippers now, all right? Or call 800-845-0544. Last chance. Get the best slippers ever. Now. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I know I have an ear-bleeding story I owe you, and I'll get to that in just a moment. I do want to continue on a couple more Ask Dr. Jesse things. We'll get to the DeSantis stuff, and actually someone has a question about the Trump stuff. We got all kinds of great questions today. Jesse, do you feel any responsibility for ginning up such fear and hatred in the country with your constant fear-mongering? Thanks. Oh my gosh, yes. It's one of my proudest things. Do you communists, do you think that I'm going to do what the right has done forever and tell people that you're just liberals and you're just left-leaning and it just everything's going to be okay? I know what you are. I know that you're demons. I know that if you're able to, you will without question hurt me. You'll hurt everybody I love. You'll hurt everyone on the right. Because your sick, demented worldview tells you that will make you the good guy. But you're not the good guy. You're the bad guy. You're actually evil incarnate. And I hate you the same way you hate me. I plan on winning. And I plan on waking up as many people on the right for as long as Premier allows me to have this microphone. I'm going to wake up as many people on the right to your evil demonic nature as I possibly can. I don't want to heal divisions with you. I don't want to have peace with you. I want to defeat and utterly destroy you in the way you want to defeat and utterly destroy me. We are enemies. I hate you the way you hate me. And the problem is for you is you've luxuriated for years with traditional conservatism and the right and talking about healing the divides. And let's tone down the rhetoric. And you've thrived under that for years because you're a ravenous animal. And whenever they talk like that, it just allows you to get more power and more power and more power. And you've enjoyed the right forever telling you, oh, he's just a liberal. We should have a conversation. In the meantime, you're saying Nazi white supremacist. And now along come the anti-communists like us. And we know who and what you are, and it bothers you. You want us to tone down the rhetoric so you can continue acting like a rabid Wolverine and eating everything you want, but those days are gone now. I'm an anti-communist. You're a communist. One of us is going to win. I don't want to heal divisions. I want to expand divisions. I want to be as far separated from you as the East is from the West. I don't want you in the same country as my children, you sick freaks. That clear enough for you? Clear that up? Remember that, communists, when you email me. Remember who you're emailing. This ain't your daddy's show, all right? Now, I owe you a story before we get back to the DeSantis stuff and Trump stuff. I've got some hard words for DeSantis. Someone else has some hard words for Trump. And then we're going to get on to prenuptial agreements. And like, we got all kinds of great stuff out there. Now, but I owe you a story because I promised it yesterday and I ran out of time. I didn't have time to do it. So before they turned into the gay mob, we were pressed by our children to take them to Disney World and wanted to take them to Disney World. This is years ago. Gosh, this has got to be, geez, that might be 10 years ago now. Close to it. It's a while ago. Anyway, we take the kids to Disney World. I think we did 3 or 4 days there. It was so expensive. We couldn't afford to do more than 3 or 4 days in Disney World. So we go down to Disney World for 3 or 4 days and we ride all the rides. And I should clarify something about myself. This is one of the, we all have flaws, right? We all have flaws and everyone knows I've got many of them. I have this thing about myself. I know I get it from my father. Travel days are oftentimes days you really don't want to be around me. And I don't know what this is. I don't know why this is. And this is what I mean. if we are packed up and we need to leave the house and it's time to load up the car and leave the house, I'm probably going to be very short with everyone. Get it done. Let's go. Get the bags in the car. We're leaving right now. Let's go. Very short with people. I don't like that. I don't know why. Until we're on the road and moving, I am amped. Extremely amped is probably a good way to put it, but I am. And I hate that about myself, but I am. I'll snap at the wife. I'll snap at the kids. I end up having to apologize. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I was in a bad mood. I just am. I hate it about myself, but I am. I'm the same way when we get to where we're going and until we're unpacked. If we're doing a little road trip or going to a hotel room, when I'm checking in, hey, I don't care. No, I don't want to hear small talk. Let's get checked in. Let's get the bags in. Let's get it set up. I know it sounds like I'm a jerk because I am a jerk. I don't know why this is. I wish I wasn't this way. I'm the same way when we're leaving. We couldn't afford to fly to Disney World, so we drove to Disney World. So the morning we're done, time to go. And we get up in the morning, and I'm ready to get on the road. We got a long way to drive that day. I'm ready to get on the road. The wife says, hey, I'll take the kids downstairs for breakfast. You load up the bags in the car. By the time we're done eating, we'll go. All right, good to go. Let's do it. She takes kids down for breakfast. I start hauling the bags out to the car. And we had the same SUV then we have now. Huh, how about that? We had this SUV. And it has this back on it, the back hatch that opens up, and there's a setting on the back hatch where you can only open it up 3/4 of the way so it doesn't open all the way up and hit the top of your garage door. That's what it's designed for. So it's not designed. You can put a setting on there so it won't open up too far, and we had that setting on there because we were parking it in the garage. And that's nice. It won't hit the garage door, but remember, I'm 6'8". If you set that on there, the edge of the hatchback will be 6'4", 6'5". You picking up what I'm putting down here? I'm in the parking lot, and of course, I'm stressed. I have no reason to be stressed, but I'm stressed out. I'm amped up. Let's get the bags in there, and then we got to get back in. We'll get the kids. We got to get checked out. We got to get out. Super stressful, right? Stupid thing to stress about. Chucking the bags in the car and chucking the bags in the back of the car. I grab this last bag. And it's just because I was all amped up. I turn really quickly to the left. The bag's on my right, and I turn quickly to the left to throw it in the car and just spaced out that the back hatch was down where it was and smashed my ear, my left ear, in right into the edge of the hatchback. Boom! And it hurts bad. I set the bag down, and I kind of bend down to try to pick up the bag again. And now I'm seeing stars all over the place, bad stars. I know I have a concussion. I hit it that hard. And I have to sit down in the middle of the parking lot. It's hot. All right. It's already hot in Florida. I'm sweating. And I've got people walking by, parking their cars out there. They're looking at me. And I'm sitting down. And I'm just sitting there trying to let the cobwebs clear out so I get this bag in. I'm still, even though I'm concussed, I'm stressed about going in and getting the family. I get up. Chris said, why not do most of the parking the night before? Packing that before. We did pack. You just couldn't load everything in the car because people steal things out of your car. You can't load up your car, pal. Anyway, I stand up. I put the bag in the car, and then I feel that same feeling many of you have felt before if you've been in a fight or a wreck or something like that, that warm trickle, blood. I say, oh, no. I hold my hand up to my left ear. I pull it down. It's full of blood. I have blood pouring out of my ear down the left side of my face. And I didn't have my beard back then, so it was really apparent. And pouring down the left side of my jaw and dripping off my chin. Oh, no. Crap. Now I'm bleeding. I don't have anything to patch it up with. I rip open the first bag because I don't want to get blood all over my clothes and blood all over the car. And I dig into the bag and I grab the first cloth thing I can find. I pull it out. And it's a pair of my boxer shorts. I'm not making this up. Pair of my boxer shorts. I have no choice. I ball it up in my hand because I've got to try to race back to the room and see if my ear's okay enough that I need it to stop bleeding so we can get on the road. So I stuff my boxer shorts in a ball. I stuff them against my ear trying to stop the bleeding. I don't have enough cloth to clean my face up. The blood is still dripping off the bottom of my chin. I close the car. and I'm booking it back into the hotel across the parking lot. I walk into the lobby and beeline it for the elevator. And that's when I scared the bejesus out of a poor couple who I think was on their honeymoon. I'll tell you the rest in a second.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show during the show. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We've got a little message for Team DeSantis here in a minute, and then we're going to move on to some more Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I want to finish up my story real quick first. In case you're just joining us, I'm just telling a little story about bleeding in Disney World 10 years ago. Bleeding out my ear. I get back into the lobby. I'm trying to get up to the room so I can see how bad the bleeding is, because we need to get on the road. The wife's feeding the kids in the restaurant. We're supposed to meet. I have underwear, my own boxer shorts. It was the first thing I grabbed out of the bags. I have them stuffed in my ear. The blood is still pouring down the left side of my face and dripping off my jaw. Remember, I'm 6'8", so I also stick out. So I book it over to the elevator because I got to get up to the room, try to clean myself up. I book it over the elevator, boom, hit the room button. I'm alone in the elevator until the doors start to close, and then couple walks up to the door, sticks their hand in the door. They were the most adorable young couple. I'd say probably early 20s. Small people. He was small. She was small. And they didn't see what was going on right when they walked in. They just kind of walked in, walked over, and pressed a button. And I remember it like it was yesterday, because I knew they were going to notice, and I knew they were going to be horrified. Both of them noticing me at the same time, looking up at this giant with blood pouring down his face and boxer shorts mashed into his ear. And they're looking at me like I'm about to serial kill both of them. Both of these people thought they were about to die. Anyway, that's pretty much the end of that story. I got up to the room. Probably should have got stitches, but again, I was too stressed to get on the road. The wife texts me at some point, because I haven't updated her on anything. She says, "Are you about ready? We're done eating." And I'd snapped a picture of my face and texted it back to her. And I said, "Not quite." And she's like, "Oh my gosh." All right. Focus. We've been talking a lot about this lately. And remember, this is a little disclaimer for all you new listeners of the show. I don't wave pom-poms for politicians. None of them. None of them. Not even your favorite one. The one you love the most, whoever it is. I treat all politicians like rental cars, all of them. We have a lot bigger problems than any one man is going to be able to fix in this country. I care about my country and saving it. So I'm going to use every politician I can to get me where I'm going, and then I'm going to dump him on the side of the road the same way he'll dump me and the same way he'll dump you. All of them are rental cars. Treat them all like rental cars. When you're done with them, drop them off and forget about them. All right? So because of that, I will routinely offend people who listen to the show, because I understand that's not the norm. The norm is you pick a guy and you ride or die with him, and you fly that flag, and you've got your Trump flag and your Trump hat, and you've got your Ron DeSantis bumper sticker and your Ron DeSantis t-shirt, and you're riding or dying with that guy. And I get that. And I'm not talking down to you. I'm not blaming you for that. That's the norm. That's human nature. I'm just not built that way. But because of that, I say things that offend you. In fact, probably offend both camps here pretty quickly. There's a story out in Politico today. Now, Politico's left-wing trash, communist garbage. And the congressman who's cited in this thing is a total commie piece of worthless low-T trash. His name's David Trott. He's from Michigan, a Republican, but he probably voted for Biden from Michigan. And what he cites in here is DeSantis sitting next to him multiple times and never introducing himself, never saying hello, never schmoozing him. Now, I don't care about this David Trott. And David Trott should be extremely embarrassed as a grown man that he would say things like that in public. What a chick thing to do. He was never nice to me. He never said hi. Dudes used to be proud of being dudes in this country. Gosh, what a bunch of effeminate losers we are now. But beyond that, this is something DeSantis has to address. Schmoozing is not something I care about.
It might not even be something you care about. I love that he's the greatest governor in the country, and he's effective, and that's what matters to me. And I don't give a crap about any of this schmoozing stuff. But people he needs, if he's going to be president, they do. Big donors, they do care. They do need it. I wish they didn't. You wish they didn't. But look, and I sympathize because I'm this way. I can get this way quickly. You know, my social meter, it starts running out when I get in a public setting. I'm fine for a while, but eventually that battery's going to hit E and I'm going to get rude. And that's just because I ran out of social energy. I don't know why that is. You know what I did about that when I was running for Congress? And I still do it to this day. You know what I do about that? The same thing, in my opinion, DeSantis should do about that. I bring the wife along because she's an angel and everyone loves her. And I need that help. When my battery runs on empty, I need her there being a little angel. I need her to be my schmooze when I can't do it anymore because I'm flat out of patience. From what I can tell, and I don't know either of them. I know a bunch of people in the DeSantis camp and a bunch of people in the Trump camp. I don't know either of them. But from what I can tell, Casey DeSantis, his wife, seems like an angel. She's beautiful and she just seems lovely to be around. She seems lovely. I know they have a young family, so that can make this really, really hard. In my opinion, he's got to start having her attached to his hip as long as humanly possible, I should say. Why? Because when he walks in a room, and again, I sympathize, he doesn't want to have to go schmooze that guy. Oh man, that donor, he just bundled $50,000 for your pack. I don't care. Good for him. We're saving America. Good. I'm glad he's on the train. I'm not going to waste any time there. Now, someone's got to step in, whether it's the wife or whatnot, and say, no, Ron, let's go over there, give him a hug, a pat on the back, tell him how much you appreciate him. I wish that didn't matter. It does. That stuff does matter. Once you get elected, shoot, be a jerk to everyone. I love jerks. Keep doing your thing. Be effective. I care about effective. That's what matters to me. But this is something, and it's early on. This is not some fatal flaw. It's early. Remember, when we address these flaws, we're addressing them early enough where they can be fixed. He's got to address it. There has to be a plan for this somehow, some way. All right? All right. Now, it's Ask Dr. Jesse time. And somebody is mad at the Trumps. Let's talk about it next.
This is an iHeart podcast.